They're not the daughters of the serpent. They're not the daughters of the cage. They're the daughters of the dragon, because your geek history lesson on the daughters of the dragon is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Scaly Inman. Welcome to your mind university, because you have stumbled upon Geek History Lesson. This is the podcast where we take you to some doors of a geeky institution of learning. We open up those doors, you walk inside, you see the polished floors, and you, yes, you hear some music. It could possibly be Dio or some music from Little Mermaid.
That's
and
right.
And you realize you are inside the Mind University. That is the institution of learning. You have now entered by listening into this. Yes, you are within a verbal contract right now. You do not know this, even if you are listening while you're driving your car. We have verbal contracted you into a cool, geeky podcast about learning, where we take one character, one subject, or possibly duo, and teach you everything you need to know about them in less than an hour. And Ashley, this week, we're talking about who?
We're talking about the Daughters of the Dragon, because they are a team of cool ladies who is going to show up, or who is showing up on...
Who is showing up?
Luke, I'm really good at time, guys.
Yep.
Who's showing up on Luke Cage Season 2, the Marvel Netflix series.
Yeah, that's right. Sweet Christmas.
Heck yeah. But before we dive into the Daughters of the Dragon, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Jupiter Jet, which is an original comic series by Jason and I that you can get right now on Amazon.
Look, and I know what you're saying out there. You're saying, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
We have heard too much.
We have heard not enough.
About Jupiter Jet.
About Jupiter Jet.
And I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I understand you. I hear you. But my friends, we're really proud of this book.
Mm-hmm.
We put a lot of, 2 years of work into this book. Actually, from the beginning to the end right now, it was 2 years of work writing our 16-year-old jetpack girl, who is the female rocketeer, Robin from the Rich, given to the poor. She's punching robots in the face. I'm just going to tell you, in the second issue, she drops from the sky.
What?
It's good drama. And it's a story that we're really proud of. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble. You can find it on Target.com, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Or order it from your local comic book shop. And if you do that, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting
thank
our
you,
book.
Thank you, thank
we
you.
Think you'll like it, all of our listeners. A lot of our listeners have already picked it up, which we really appreciate. But if you have read it, or if you haven't read it, I mean, I don't know if you want to do this if you haven't read it. It's up to you. Go over to Amazon.com and please leave us a 5-star review under the product page. Or you can leave us a 4-star review, whatever you want. Come on, leave us a 5-star review. Please go do that. Write a review, because that helps our book be found in the search algorithm. That's right. We have done research on Amazon, and we know how books and products are discovered on Amazon. And by the way, we'd really appreciate it. Now, you don't have to have bought the book on Amazon. You could have bought it at your local comic book store. You could have bought it at Barnes & Noble. But if you go over to Amazon, leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it. There are over 10,000 people listening to this podcast. If everybody went over there and made a review, one, we'd really appreciate it, because we'd love you a lot. But two, it would quickly make us the best-selling book on Amazon,
yeah, it would.
Which would be awesome. But, you know, please go over there and do that. It really appreciate it. You help support our future endeavors.
Yeah.
So, and if you're listening to this podcast, we hope you like us.
Hope you like us.
You hope you like us somehow.
Period.
A little bit.
We
All
hope
right.
you like us.
Daughters of the Dragon.
Heck yeah. Let's dive right into the first part of the podcast. What is that, Jason?
That is the 10-cent origin. That is where, for less than a dime, and we will expect those dimes in the mail, P.O. Box. No, I'm kidding.
Send them right to Amazon. Buy Jupiter Jet.
Ashley is going to give you a quick Cliff Notes version of the Daughters of the Dragon, in case you ever go to a really cool and sweet Harlem-themed cocktail party, and Luke Cage is there, and Misty is there, Jessica Jones might show up, and somebody asks you about Daughter of the Dragon, this is how you're going to know immediately what to tell them.
Yes, they are, of course, Marvel Comics characters who first appeared in Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, number 32, in January of 1977. They are also an integral part of early Iron Fist storylines, and were created by Chris Claremont and Marshall Rogers. Chris Claremont created all the X-Men that I love the very most.
But he did a big run on Iron Fist, which a lot of people forget about.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Daughters of the Dragon are a team. They are a duo made up of Misty Knight and Colleen Wing, who Jason alluded to earlier. They were originally conceived of as a feminine answer to the Heroes for Hire.
Oh, cool.
Marvel was like, we got two dudes. We also got two ladies.
They have a much better team name, I'll say that.
Yeah, heck yeah, they do. Both alliterative, though, Daughters of the Dragon, Heroes for Hire. And you probably know them, if you don't know them from the comics, from the Netflix Marvel Universe, where they are played. Misty Knight is played by Simone Missick, and Colleen Wing is played by Jessica Henwick. And they kind of, sort of, teamed up at the end of Defenders for like 5 whole seconds because they had to be sidelined and couldn't be part of the big fight at the end. Mm-hmm. And they are continuing their partnership into Luke Cage Season 2.
Yeah.
And that is your 10-cent origin on the Daughters of the Dragon.
Now that the 10-cent origin is over, let's move into the meet-cute, which is a term that we stole from romantic comedies, where Ashley and I are going to tell you how we mediated and cutedited the Daughters of the Dragon.
You just nailed it.
That's right. Ashley. Ashley, you go first.
Me?
Yep. Professor Ashley.
So Daughters of the Dragon is a name that I had sort of read tossed around the Marvel Comics universe. If you listen to this podcast a lot, you know that I didn't do a ton of extensive Iron Fist or Power Man reading before the Netflix shows. I didn't really know much about either character until the Marvel Now initiative started in 2013, because I was reading Fearless Defenders, which Misty Knight is part of. It's actually one of the reasons that Daughters of the Dragon kind of goes away. Mm-hmm. And I talked a little bit more about that in the Misty Knight episode, but that was where I first learned exactly who the Daughters of the Dragon were. Up to that point, I just kind of thought they were a cool name. So how about you, Jason? Where did you first meet them?
I randomly met them in the Immortal Iron Fist, the Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker run. Basically it. I don't have any extensive
which they're a pretty minor part of that.
They're very minor. Yeah. They show up in like, hi, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it. That is my meet cute for the Daughters of the Dragon.
That's fine. Sometimes my meet cute is I don't really know who these people are.
Exactly. So let's move right into the history 101 of the Daughters of the Dragon, where Professor Ashley is going to pull out her giant blackboard and she's going to write on it with chalk and tell you about the Daughters of the Dragon.
Ooh, that's going to make a horrible sound.
Don't breathe in.
Or do. That's also fine.
No, the chalk dust.
Look, we all breathe in a bunch of chalk. We're fine.
Don't breathe in the chalk dust, I'm telling you. We got weird chalk.
Do you?
Yeah, that's right. We're in the Mind University.
The Mind University has
we
weird
get it from
chalk.
Space.
Space chalk?
It's made from space rocks. Space chalk.
It's probably made by one of the Richards. All right, so we're going to start off by talking about publication history, our favorite. So the name Daughters of the Dragon was actually...
Daughters of the Dragon!
Oh boy, another theme song. It was actually created after both Misty Knight and Colleen had appeared in Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, like I mentioned in the Meet Cute. So when they both first appeared, they were not called the Daughters of the Dragon.
They were called Misty and Colleen.
They were just their own people with mm-hmm. their own identities. They were just strong female characters, and that term didn't exist in the 70s. the team name first appeared in Marvel Team-Up number 64 from December of 1977, so a little less than a year later. It was spoken by Davos, who is the Steel Serpent. Jason, really quick, if people don't know, what or who is the Steel Serpent?
The Steel Serpent is just an Iron Fist villain. He's kind of Iron Fist's primary villain. I don't know why I couldn't say that word. He's also the son of the Thunderer, who is one of the main teachers at Kunlun, mm-hmm. Or Kunlun, however you want to say it. I like it as Kunlun.
I agree.
Kunlun is how they say it in the Netflix show. That's basically who he is. He's Iron Fist's Joker, basically.
So he says Daughters of the Dragon, and it is meant to be an insult that these two women aren't worthy of being Iron Fists, which are sometimes referred to as dragons in their own right. They are merely Daughters of the Dragon. So I guess Davos is trying to tell them that they suck, but he actually ends up giving them a really cool name. Although he does yell this as he's running away from Misty and Colleen, who are beating the snot out of him. So I leave it to you, the listener, to judge who is worthy and who is not worthy. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, it's not Davos. In their first appearance as a team, the Daughters of the Dragon are only on panel for a few pages, so strap in. We are mostly talking about them as supporting characters, which means we're going to jump to a bunch of random stories. Unfortunately, like a lot of the supporting characters that we've done lessons on in the past, and like Jason kind of alluded to in the Immortal Iron Fist run, they sort of show up here and there, and sometimes they have a name, and sometimes they don't have a name. So not too long after their initial partnership, Colleen was captured by a villain named Master Khan and his partner, Angmar the Screamer.
Is this Master Khan like Wrath of Khan, like K-H-A-N?
Yes,
okay.
Because most of their villains until the modern age have sort of vaguely Eastern-sounding names. So Master Khan and Angmar the Screamer turned Colleen into a mind-controlled slave that they used as a fighting machine to take on Iron Fist, because in the 1970s, we were really into mind control.
So she was mind-controlled?
Yes, she was.
Weird.
Do you think so?
I don't remember that. Weird.
Luckily for Colleen, though, Iron Fist freed her from her mental bond.
Thanks, Danny.
Just in time to basically throw her in the direction of Misty Knight and be like, good luck, girls. Together again, the Daughters of the Dragon teamed back up with another villain, this time named Emile Vachon. However, he turned out to be extra, extra evil, and he didn't really want to work with them at all. So he kidnapped Colleen and took her to Hong Kong, where he turned her into a heroin addict.
Whoa. I guess it was the 70s.
It was the 70s. It was, I don't know what the 70s
you know
was like.
You know who was also doing heroin in the 70s?
John Lennon?
John Lennon.
I was like,
hello, Paul.
If it's not, no, say hello, Colleen.
Hello, Colleen.
So this time around,
that's something we got to do, you know?
I was going to do the Ringo. I wrote a song about an octopus.
I
wrote
a song about
the
octopus.
That's the wrong Beetle. So this time around, I guess Iron Fist was too busy to rescue Colleen from her addiction, because instead she was saved by Misty Knight, because they're Daughters of the Dragon and they look out for each other. And Misty helped to get her off heroin. And this is a storyline that it's immediately dropped and never returned to ever again. Thank goodness. Thank you, Marvel Editorial. You made a good decision in dropping that storyline. And then they return to America and they meet Spider-Man for the first time.
I wish that would happen to me every time I went to America.
Every time you just like returned to like JFK Airport, Spidey was like, hey, Jason,
you see the Statue of Liberty? You get a slice of pizza. Spider-Man's like, yo, what's up?
And he's like eating a piece of pizza with his mask.
Yeah,
on.
I'd be like, hey, so he delivers the pizza. That makes it even better.
Oh, there you go. Not too long after this, Iron Fist book is canceled.
Dun, dun, dun.
No. So the Daughters of the Dragon, of course, just
Daughters of the Dragon.
I love that. They hop into a different title.
It has a beat. It has like a bass. Sorry to interrupt. It has like a bass funky beat. It's like doom 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 doom.
Daughters of the Dragon.
Yeah. It's like lots of shots of them running, and it's one of that 70s still shot where it's like freeze frames, except freeze frames in different colors. So it's like red, blue, red. You know.
Yeah. And it's like Colleen Wing and Misty Knight are the Daughters of the Dragon.
Daughters of the Dragon.
They'll have to learn to overcome such obstacles as drug addiction.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Wonder Woman 70s theme in my head.
Yes, very that.
You know?
So like I said, Iron Fist's book is canceled. Sorry, that's what happens to comics. So they hop over into a new title that had just debuted as supporting
Marvel
cast members.
Marvel 2-in-1?
Power Man and Iron Fist?
Oh, okay, damn it.
They do appear in Marvel 2-in-1, but we're not going to get into any of those specific adventures because they're very minor.
It's all
there.
Good. Marvel 2-in-1 is a Spider-Man team-up book.
Yes. That's actually where they met Spider-Man for the first time when they landed in America.
Hey, guys.
You nailed it. So Power Man and Iron Fist, if you don't know, were only teamed up because both characters needed a bump in their sales. So the editors were like, why not put them together? Jason, I want to ask you now.
Let's hear it.
Would you have preferred that in the 70s when they were sort of first kicking around that Misty and Colleen had their own title right off the bat, or that they had played a more equal role to Luke and Danny instead of just being set dressing sometimes?
I don't think they would have worked if they had their own title. I think
you don't think so?
No, I think they probably would have been canceled pretty quick. I kind of think they're really good supporting characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
Please be.
I really think the Daughters of the Dragon are pure supporting characters.
I would agree with you based on their publication history.
And I just don't know if they can support a solo ongoing, just the two of them. I really don't. Now, at the same time, if there's a writer out there that can take that out there and knock my socks off, please do. I would love to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it so far.
When I put on my goggles and I look in the way, way back to the 1970s and I think about when Heroes for Hire was first being conceived of as a team, I kind of wish it had been four equal parts. So it would have been like these two men and these two women, and they were all acting as a quadrant as opposed to just like a duo with this other duo kind of playing second fiddle in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Colleen would be the one to again end their partnership. She's kind of the Hawkeye of this little setup. When she left New York City to pursue a romantic relationship with everybody's favorite Marvel character, Bob Diamond.
Hey. Name's Bob Diamond. How's it going?
Do you know who Bob Diamond is, Jason?
I have no idea who Bob Diamond is. Who's Bob Diamond? Please tell me he's a Texan.
I don't know because there's no accents in comics until the X-Men make everybody Southern.
Yep.
Bob Diamond is a pretty mediocre master of martial arts type who has blonde Errol Flynn-style hair. During, I don't know if you know this about Marvel, but during the 70s, they had a lot of like, I'm a master of judo. I'm a master of kung fu. I'm a master of karate. Types who would just sort of show up to cause trouble.
Bob Diamond is his name?
Yeah.
Robert Diamond is a much better name than Bob Diamond.
Well, his name is Robert Diamond, and if you Google him, one of the articles that comes up is Robert, but he's called Bob in these stories.
Hello. So now he's like this. If he's Errol Flynn, he's down here.
Errol Flynn type, yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Bob Diamond.
I'm Colleen Wing. Just let me quit my team here and let's go.
Sorry, I had to fight a few ninjas.
It's very that.
Colleen, look into my eyes.
Okay.
Do you sense this? I sense it.
I want all the listeners to know that Jason is giving full physical acting.
I'm along Bob Diamond. Do you know who I am?
Bob Diamond.
I'm Bob Diamond.
Mediocre master of martial arts.
Master, correct.
We're going to leave New York, right?
Yes.
Sounds good.
I'm Bob Diamond.
Yes, you are.
What are we going to do this? Bob Diamond.
It sounds like a porn star name.
That's exactly right. Bob Diamond.
But yeah, you can Google Bob Diamond, comma Marvel, and like there's lots of pictures.
That's right, Bob Diamond.
Stop it, I can't.
Only my mother calls me Robert.
Robert Diamond?
Yes, Robert Diamond.
What part of you is Diamond?
My pinky toe.
Oh, can I see it?
No.
Oh.
Bob Diamond.
What do you like, Bob Dole?
Yes.
Bob
Diamond. I have no joke
Bob
for this.
Bob Diamond.
But I'm just going to say Bob Diamond a lot with the idea that it will hypnotize you.
Hypnotize?
Yes, it will that too. Into my sorry, I had to fight some ninjas.
Where did they go? I didn't even see them.
Hmm?
Were they imaginary ninjas?
Bob Diamond.
Yes, you are. So it's not until...
Sorry, that didn't go anywhere.
It's not until after Colleen's relationship with Bob Diamond fizzles out and ends that she basically just reaches back out to Misty. And Misty offers her a job working as a bondswoman in a new company that she was starting that happened to coincide with the new title for Daughters of the Dragon. Can you imagine such a thing? Also, this is about 30 years later, so they've been on hiatus for a minute. In this series, Colleen and Misty open and run their operations out of Nightwing Restorations Incorporated. That's right, Nightwing, like the DC Comics hero. And it primarily operates as a detective agency. Now, throughout the Silver and Bronze Age of comics, the Daughters of the Dragon don't do a lot on their own, kind of in between then and now. They show up to do some sweet kung fu moves when the heroes for hire can't take on a foe by themselves. And they will do some gumshoe detective work when Luke and Danny are like, I'm too lazy to get pointed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And this is their first effort really striking out on their own and defining themselves separate from the heroes for hire. Misty and Colleen split up and shut down Nightwing Restorations Inc., very difficult to say, for a while to star in their own solo series, develop personal relationships, mostly with Danny. So they break up the team and then they get it back together.
Because they both date Danny.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But then mostly Misty wins the day where the comics are concerned. When Nightwing Restorations reopens, Misty retrofits it as a bail bonds operation.
She loves those bail bonds.
With herself at the helm. They lend out money pretty indiscriminately and without judgment until the accused makes their way through the criminal justice system, with the caveat that if the lendee misses their court date, the Daughters of the Dragon would hunt them down and bring them to justice through the use of their fists. Fun fact, the first client that they beat up for skipping his court date and bring to justice is Spider-Man villain the Rhino in a pretty cool fight that opens there.
I like that. That's cool.
Their titular series. I like it because the Rhino is not a hugely defining Spider-Man villain, but he's more recognizable than I think Misty or Colleen were at the time. So I think it lends a little bit of credence to like their first solo outing. Despite having a functional office building at the time, they mostly operate outside of a Chinese restaurant.
As, for some reason, I thought you were going to say dumpster. I don't know why.
Jesus. That's so rude.
Why is
I'm
that
sorry,
rude?
I just clicked.
Is this the way your sentence was going? I was like, they operate out of a dumpster.
No.
I don't
Jesus.
Know. Misty's all about bail bonds. Who knows?
Why are you equating bail bonds to dumpster?
Look, so there was a time in my life where I made TV commercials. I helped a production company make TV commercials for a living. We did a
couple. You were a bail bonds?
We did a couple commercials for a bail bondsman for different bail bonds companies.
Did they operate out of dumpsters?
They were some pretty rough buildings and neighborhoods, let me tell you that.
Okay.
We met some interesting characters filming those commercials.
All right. The only reason I really want to bring up this Chinese restaurant is because in the Defenders Netflix series,
is it the same restaurant?
They lifted the exact design for its Chinese restaurant from the art in this comic book.
You sons of bitches.
And it's very eerie.
Well, that's a nice homage.
I think it is too. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't think a lot of people read this series.
No.
But when I read it digitally, but let's just say...
Is it on Marvel Unlimited?
It is on Marvel Unlimited.
Great.
When I turned the page and saw it for the first time, I was like, holy expletive, it's exactly like...
I see what you did there, Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I don't know if it was intentionally given to the production designers or if it was maybe in a stack of reference material.
I bet you it was 100% intentional.
But I thought that was cool. So all of this takes place during the first eponymous series, Daughters of the Dragon from 2006.
Daughters of the Dragon. By the way, I have our theme song. I have the theme song of this. Ready for this?
Yeah.
I've been writing some lyrics for you. While
you've
been doing your
lesson. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
With a robot arm and Colleen's kung fu charm, these ladies are ready to debut. Daughters of the Dragon.
Someone please cut that out and put some sweet guitar and
funk. Doom, 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 doom,
that was really good.
I've been working on that.
Yeah, for
how? To the theme of the Wonder Woman theme song. I'm sorry, but
it's just an easy reference.
I'm on the spot.
So it is written by Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti with art by Kari Evans, K-H-A-R-I?
Sure.
So I'm assuming it's Kari. This series is chock full of egregious female anatomy.
Wait, what? Egregious female anatomy?
Yeah. Everyone, there are children listening. Everybody looks like they were probably referenced from an adult film star.
Interesting.
There are many areolas on display for no reason.
Okay.
In a book that is ostensibly for all ages.
All right.
And I don't know if a spy book needs that, despite the fact that it is starring two ladies.
Sure.
I would say it is similar to my criticism about the Black Panther when Shuri was Black Panther series. I just don't understand what purpose it serves.
Got it.
One thing that I do really like about the art and design work is that you can tell that these Daughters of the Dragons are slick modern ladies because they ride matching gold and silver motorcycles.
That's kind of cool,
ease
actually.
Ease of movement through New York City. Yeah, I actually think it's really, really cool.
That's cool.
Now, if you want Jason and I to get matching mine university motorcycles.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Mine's red.
I would highly encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Jowin. That's J-A-W-I-N. That's a joke, of course. But if you go over there.
No, that's the $50,000 goal right there.
Okay, great. And you put a little.
GHO motorcycles.
Put a little support our way. You do help us keep the lights on here at the Mine University. Pay for our growing costs. We have more listeners now than ever, which is amazing. But that means that we have to work harder, do more research. And I got to read more Daughters of the Dragon series, guys. Plus, we have a ton of really cool exclusive content over there, including, and we talk about this all the time, the Geek History Lesson Extra podcast, where Jason and I go a little more off the cuff, a little more fun.
We got to talk about that because there's something that people don't realize. We talk about it in a lot of the episodes of Geek History Lesson, but we have it's hours upon hours. There's over 100 episodes of Geek History Lesson Extra.
I can't believe that.
And
that's
you
wild.
Could literally go back and go through them. And each of them are about like 15 to 20 minutes long. So you put that together, that's a lot.
That's hours.
That's hours upon hours upon hours. It could take you several weeks just to listen to all the... And here's the other thing. The Geek History Lesson Extras are almost pretty timeless.
Yeah.
And they're very kind of evergreen discussions. And that, I don't know. Geek History Lesson Extra is one of the funnest things we do.
Absolutely.
And It's one of the things, it's one of the perks you get for being one of our super friends over at the Hall of Justice, we call patreon.com/Jawin.
And just so you know, this week we are talking about could a Daughters of the Dragon spinoff Netflix series work?
And what would that be like?
And we also do another show over there called Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventure, where if you ever want to know a little more about us, something a little bit more like our meet cute section of the podcast, we drop that there. So there's more than just one extra podcast you can get by helping us with our growing costs. And thank you to everybody who's already donated and everybody who will in the future.
Sweet.
So eventually, the Daughters of the Dragon and
Daughters of the Dragon
and Nightwing Restorations Incorporated.
What a terrible name.
Awful name. And Misty and Colleen's lives get like way too out of hand. So they decide that they're going to hire a PA slash secretary. So they go through a temp agency.
Well, they're not really a film crew, so I doubt they would hire a PA.
Well, like a personal assistant.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Look, Jason, just because you're working in television, it doesn't mean.
I've never heard it called a PA before.
I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I've only heard that to film.
Well, I don't know. I've heard that.
Sorry.
So they decided they're going to hire a personal assistant slash secretary. They go through a temp agency. I have no idea why. Instead of just hiring like any of their teenaged superheroes. Like, why didn't you just hire Kate Bishop, guys?
Like, what was Jubilee doing during this time?
Walking around a mall loitering.
There you go. So
having awkward sexual tension.
I mean,
with Wolverine.
This story writes itself. Jubilee as the secretary of the Daughters of the Dragon.
I'm going to be honest. That would have been better. So they go through this temp agency. They burn through three temps really quick, and then they eventually hire a young gentleman named Otis Danger Johnson.
What? Oh God! And Bob Diamond. You thought Bob Diamond was bad.
Otis kind of looks like, what if Silver Age Jimmy Olsen was skinnier, zittier, and even weirder looking?
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
I'm Otis Danger Johnson.
Like that character from The Simpsons, but with glasses.
Yeah, I have glasses.
He helps out with menial tasks around the office.
No, so, tasks.
Jason.
Not tax. What? Tasks.
I'm sure he sits on tasks. Yeah. Jason, based on your reaction to hearing his name... Do you have any clue who Otis Danger Johnson is?
Well, I like to think that I'm a person with a lot of good abilities that can help out around the office.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I think
you're
so.
You're hired.
Right? I mean, you won't get annoyed at listening to this voice all day long.
No, you actually sound like you have strep. You should get that checked out.
Yeah, I probably
should. You're uninsured.
You don't pay me much.
Right. Do you want to know where you worked before this temp agency pimped you out to Nightwing Restorations?
I'm going to guess a dumpster.
Well, you might have ended up in one. He previously worked for AIM, which is like a science...
I'm a villain.
...organization.
Yes.
Where he was exposed to chemicals.
No, you know I was.
And became both indestructible and impervious to pain.
That's right.
So to impress Misty and Colleen, because they are A, sexy, and B, tough ladies... he tries to act like a thug around them, which they have no patience for.
Yeah, what's up? Watch out. I'm a tough.
And he's always trying to prove how tough he is to them. You're nailing this.
Punch me.
I'm going to cast you so fast.
Hey, just punch me right here.
The first...
You can stab me right
in
the boob.
Hang on. How was that fully?
Didn't feel anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Perfect.
The first time
Stab me right in the crotch. Yeah, nothing.
I don't
see?
Know what's stabbing.
Told you. Told you I'm so good.
So the first time he's left alone.
Danger Johnson.
First time.
Oh my God. What is with the, what a ridiculous name.
Look, you can just blame Jimmy Palmiotti for this.
I apologize for all the really bad jokes, but these names are ridiculous.
They're not the best naming conventions.
Oh, my God.
The first time he's left alone in the office, he fights an Atlantean character named Orca.
I know Orca.
Yeah, Orca's blue. He's kind of got weird teeth around his head.
Half shark kind of thing.
Orca has this thing where if he's out of the ocean for too long, he gets real angry and will beat people up.
Like Namor.
And it is this basically cut sequence of him beating up Otis. And Otis is like, it doesn't hurt. I don't care. They get really tired. They cuddle together and have
mister,
a nap.
Mister, you smell like a fish, mister.
Yeah. And then they become really close friends.
Huh.
And this actually earns him a lot of respect from the Daughters of the Dragon because, A, it manages to recruit Orca as a client for them. It gets them some intel on the case that they're working on. And he's going to pop up again later.
Uh-huh. See, when I sleep with the fishes...
I literally
sleep with the fishes.
That very joke is made in the comic book.
Oh, see? I can write it.
So
I can write our comic.
You're nailing it. The intel provided by Orca leads the Daughters of the Dragon to investigate Celia Riccadonna. She's a pretty generic mob queen boss who wields katanas. The cool thing about the katanas is they're forged out of adamantium. She wears a white costume that's pretty reminiscent of daggers. It's full of like boob windows for no reason.
Is she also super strong? Because adamantium in the comic books is super heavy.
Yes. But she also has a mask and she hates Misty Knight. Now, you may wonder, how could you hate Misty Knight? She's sassy. She's got a bionic arm.
How
she's
can you
really
hate
cool.
Misty Knight?
Well, she hates Misty Knight because Misty had previously put her away in prison.
Of course.
So Celia,
and she didn't give her a bail bond.
She didn't.
From her
she
many bail
bond.
From her many failed bail bond businesses.
I don't think they ever failed.
Well, why are they still going?
They should be still going if they're a successful business.
Right? See? So that means they all failed.
I don't know. I don't know economics, guys. Celia Riccadonna masquerades as a billionaire publishing magnate like you do.
Yeah, because that's so easy to
do. She publishes beauty magazines because it's 2006.
Oh, my God.
And she only came under the scrutiny of the Daughters of the Dragon because of her suspected involvement in the death and threatening of a number of their clients, including such names as Freezer Burn, Humbug, 8-Ball, and Whirlwind. Now, an important question, Jason. Have you ever heard of any of these characters?
I've heard of Humbug.
Humbug is like an old man who can control cockroaches.
Yeah, I've heard of Humbug.
He's actually kind of a cute old man.
I want to say like I've read a Spider-Man book with Humbug in it.
I bet you probably did. What do all of these mediocre characters have in common, you might ask? Well, they were all hired to steal the same microchip that had a computer virus capable of taking down and destroying the global economy on it. From Celia Riccadonna's house.
It's a very it's very useful microchip.
Yeah. That's why you can't just leave it lying around next to your teddy cam.
I wish I had one of those.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You would take down the global economy?
Why not?
Sure.
They're not doing anything with it.
When the Daughters of the Dragon eventually confront Celia Riccadonna, she cuts off Misty's bionic arm in a pretty epic fight with one of her aforementioned adamantium katanas. Luckily for Misty, however, Tony Stark made her an upgraded kind of an Iron Man version of her bionic arm. So really, she made out better in the end.
Oh, wow. She got an upgrade for
free.
Yeah,
she totally did.
Good for her.
Celia Riccadonna, it turns out, was working alongside a bunch of hybrid Skrull villains. Now, Jason, really quick, what are the Skrulls?
Skrulls are a shape-shifting race from the Fantastic Four that have green faces and big pointy green ears, and they're basically shapeshifters. That's it.
There you go. So with the help of these weirdo Skrull villain guys, Celia Riccadonna sent...
Hey, don't judge the Skrulls. Weirdo Skrull villains.
Well, they are, because they're Skrull hybrids, so they're not just pure Skrulls.
Oh, okay, fair point. Weirdos.
Yeah, they're weird, like, interbred Skrulls. She sent an explosive package through the United States Postal Service, thanks, team, and succeeded in blowing up the Heroes for Hire headquarters. Boo. However, working with Iron Fist and their client Humbug, who Jason has heard of, they were able to apprehend Celia Riccadonna at the auction for the microchip, secure the virus, and stick her in supervillain jail until the next writer decided that they needed her for something. Spoiler alert, that was never. Now, during the explosion, who do you think was the only person inside the building, Jason?
You mean during the explosion of Heroes for Hire?
Yeah.
Luke Cage?
No.
I don't know.
Otis Danger Johnson.
He's dying in the explosion.
Yeah, he was in there doing his menial tasks or whatever.
Wait, but I'm fine. I'm impervious.
He was. He was not injured. But he was very frightened.
Oh, of course.
So he went undercover.
Yeah.
As a pizza delivery guy.
Danger Johnson now is a delivery boy.
Because he's like, you know what? Spider-Man was a pizza delivery guy, so I can too.
That's right.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
I always deliver the anchovies. That's what Orca says.
The Daughters of the Dragon couldn't have, you know, just a normal pizza delivery guy in their employ. So they must have had a super pizza delivery boy who could deliver cool things like boxes of smoke screens that could foil super evil villains' plans. And you would be right.
What?
Yeah. So they basically use Otis to travel around in his pizza delivery abilities and help them. So inside the boxes, there would be like smoke screens and he would like open them in front of the villain so that Misty and Colleen could get the jump on them.
What is with this book? Why do I feel like this book is a sitcom all of the Honeymooners?
This book is interesting because it tries to strike a balance with comedy, and I think it should have gone more hard-boiled detective.
It feels parody. It really feels parody.
It is very silly.
Like, and this is a recent book, too.
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
Now, part of the reason for this could be this series is unfolding concurrently and leads into Civil War.
I mean,
so I don't know if it, I don't know if it was intentionally began lighter because they knew they were going to be dipping into some heavier material later on.
That's a possibility, sure.
But Jason, really quick, for anyone who doesn't know out there in podcast land, what is Civil War in the Marvel comic books?
Yeah, this town in Connecticut blows up. Iron Man's mad about it. So Iron Man's like, government, let's make all the superheroes register because they need to be trained. Captain America's like, Tony, I'm not doing that. And then they fight for six issues until Captain America gives up. Then he shot. The end.
Yeah. So both members of Daughters of the Dragon are contacted by Iron Man because he wants them to reform and lead Heroes for Hire. And he's like, I just gave you a sweet new arm. You owe me one.
Yep, because Luke Cage is on Cap's side. And then, Ashley, let's see if you remember from a previous Geek History lesson, the Iron Fist lesson and the Daredevil lesson. Where was Iron Fist during this time of Civil War? Do you remember?
No.
Now, I talk about this a lot because this is the time when Matt Murdock was actually overseas because his identity...
Oh, was Iron Fist pretending to be Daredevil at this time?
So the Daredevil you see in Civil War is Danny Rand pretending to be Daredevil to help out Matt Murdock's identity.
Okay. So this version of the team basically tracks down superhumans that reject the Superhuman Registration Act and they punish them accordingly for breaking the law.
Okay.
Colleen and Misty are reticent to begin with, but they do eventually relent and reform a team that is made up of themselves, Shang-Chi, Humbug, Orca, Black Cat, Paladin, Reed Richards, Spider-Man, and Tarantula. Now, some of these people will leave the team. And
Spider-Man.
Yes, but this is sort of the main lineup. Fun fact, Otis got to keep his job during this time.
Oh, I'm still a pizza delivery boy.
Because we all need good, high-quality administrative work. No, he actually, he kind of goes back to like being their secretary.
Promotion, yes.
Yes. The nice thing I think about this team is it's like the first time Colleen and Misty get to lead a team where you've actually heard of some of the people they're working with. They've really stepped up in the world. Following this, the end of Civil War and the death of Captain America, the Daughters of the Dragon disbanded their professional association. Now, a big part of this was during the Marvel Now initiative in 2013, Misty Knight teams up with Valkyrie because she's like, screw you, Colleen, I want a blonde. And they form Fearless Defenders, which is a new female-driven team. And Fearless Defenders operates largely in the same way that Heroes for Hire did, although on a, I'm sorry, not Heroes for, Daughters of the Dragon did, but on a bigger scale, and I think ultimately more effectively and with a better story.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And if you don't know the answer, this is totally fine. Okay. It's been a while since I've read Fearless Defenders.
Mm.
Do they actually call themselves the Fearless Defenders in
they
the book?
They do not. That is the title
that's
of
what,
the book.
That's what I figured.
And they are called Fearless Defenders because
calling
they...
Calling yourself fearless is a little weird.
Because they come out of the event Fear itself.
Yeah.
That's why they're called Fearless Defenders.
Because I think also at the same time was the Defenders book by Matt Fraction with Doctor Strange in it.
Yes, that is correct. Yep. I don't know why they're called Fearless Defenders, but that is what they're called. And they have not rebanded since then. Sad face.
So they are technically a band on the run?
Band
that's right. I knew you would start singing.
That's all the matches I'm doing.
That's all you're doing?
I worry that I've annoyed everybody in this episode, so I'm going
to
preemptively apologize.
I will say that,
don't send me tweets.
When we go to conventions and make appearances, there's always at least a handful of people that mention they love your singing. So this is for them.
They like my singing too.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Danger Johnson.
I want to talk really quick about the character.
With Danger Johnson?
No.
Oh, you sure?
In a perfect world.
How much do you like my voice?
No. On a scale of what?
On a scale of 1 to 2, you love it. How much do you love my voice?
Well, now you sound like you're drunk.
I maybe sometimes that just has my voice. you know.
I'd go like a 2.5.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So... most people
goose.
most people probably actually know them from the Netflix series. So I really quickly just want to talk about what their incarnations are like.
Please do.
There.
Colleen's awesome in the Netflix show. So is Misty.
They are both really awesome. Misty Knight is a character introduced in Luke Cage. There, she is mostly just a really cool police officer who sleeps with Luke Cage, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
She's played by Simone Missick, who really brings an edge to the character that I think was implied in the comics, but maybe never pulled off because she's always in a really busty costume. Colleen is introduced in Iron Fist. She's kind of the hand and kind of not the hand, but she's basically the Iron Fist that everybody wants, except she's not the leader
of the
show.
I mean, she's with the hand.
Yeah, yeah, but she's good. And then there's like good the hand and then like bad the hand. Like, the hand is really messy in the Iron Fist show, in my opinion. And then they're forced to work together at the end of the Defender series, like we alluded to at the beginning of the beginning during the Tencent origin, because they're all going to this building to fight the dragon. But Misty gets really injured.
She has her arm chopped off.
She finally. Yep. It's funny because as soon as Misty shows up, you're like, when are they going to cut off her arm?
Mm-hmm.
When are they going to cut off her arm? They finally
and
cut off her
arm. And it didn't happen in Luke Cage season one.
No, it didn't happen.
Spoilers for Luke Cage season one.
But they leave Colleen in charge of her. And it's interesting because now that partnership is going to pay off. But they're not super intertwined in their first few appearances on the Netflix show. So if you were really intrigued by this lesson, or if you really do love Daughters of the Dragon, if you love that 2006 series, you're going to have to hold out a little while if you haven't watched the Netflix shows. That's all. So, but they're both great on the shows, which is awesome.
Yep.
And that's your history of Daughters of the Dragon.
Daughters of the Dragon.
Yeah.
With the robot arm and Colleen's kung fu charm, these ladies are ready to debut. Daughters of the Dragon. Doom, 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 doom. Freeze frame, freeze frame, freeze frame. Then Otis.
Then I'll show you a picture of Otis when we're done.
I don't need to see a picture of Otis Danger Johnson.
Otis Danger or Johnson.
Bob Diamond.
Bob Diamond looks like Errol Flynn.
Bob Diamond. Hello.
All right, Bob, what are we talking about next?
Next, we shall be going into the recommended reading.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
It is where you shall go to an internet website if you like these adventures of Colleen, a girl I've had, and Misty, a girl I've had.
You have not.
Oh, believe
Misty
me.
Misty would slap the ever-loving goodness out of you.
Bob Diamond. You go to the site, you click on the books.
The widgets?
That are there. In case you're Amazon, you get these books in the mail and your clicking gives support to this very audio program you're currently listening to, Bob Diamond.
Is that how I know you're done?
Bob Diamond.
You punctuated your name. All right, so my first recommendation is going to be Iron Fist Epic Collection, The Fury of Iron Fist. These are...
Iron Fist? Yeah. You kind of said Iron Fist there.
Iron Fisk.
Yeah, Iron Fisk.
These are the earliest Iron Fist collections, and this is where you're going to get, look, laterals and plosives are difficult.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to get the original appearances of the Daughters of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're going to see them get their name because Davos somehow thinks he's insulting them. You're going to see them providing all the help when Danny can't quite get his life together. So check that out.
Oh, Danny.
Oh, Danny boy.
No, I'm not going for that joke. It's too
I
easy.
Am. I did. This my second recommendation is going to be Daughters of the Dragon, Volume 1, Samurai Bullets. That is the their only eponymous series that they've ever had. Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti, Kari Evans. You get to see them with Nightwing Restorations. You get to see Danger, Otis Danger Johnson there. You get to see Orica. You get to see Rick Adana. And you get to see basically the only time they were allowed to play in their own sandbox. And then finally, I'm going to recommend Civil War. You can get it in one nice collection. It is off recommended on this podcast, and it's just because it's one of the greatest Marvel events that everybody actually gets something to do during.
It's a good event.
So if you want to see them doing something, it's maybe the most impactful thing that the Daughters of the Dragon ever get up to.
Sure.
Even though they play a small part in that. So those are my recommended reading. Go check those out at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading.
Woot!
All right, do you want to discuss stuff?
Sure, do you have stuff to discuss?
I have stuff to discuss.
Let's talk about it.
So I asked you this near the start of the podcast, if you thought that when they came into fruition, if the Daughters of the Dragon should have had their own solo series instead of just being supporting players.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's room for that in the modern Marvel continuity?
Do I think that they should have a series now?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. especially with the Netflix show. Of course they should have a series. Also to help bolster the diversity of Marvel, I think that would help as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great title, Daughters of the Dragon.
It is a great title.
It's a great companion title to Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I honestly think they should have one. It's a perfect companion series to Heroes for Hire, and especially since their profile is so big now because of the Netflix shows, yeah, they should totally do it.
I would also love to see Danny Rand's little, what's the little girl Iron Fist name?
Oh, I don't remember.
But I think this would be maybe an interesting place if there was some way to incorporate her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just take all your cool lady ninjas and put them in one place.
Can I give you a crazy pitch?
Please do.
So that little girl, the little Iron Fist girl,
yeah,
and Luke Cage's daughter should be the new Daughters of the Dragon.
Danielle.
Yep.
Oh, that would be so great if you said it in the... you could have like competing timelines where you had like Colleen and Misty in the modern day, and then you could have them in the future. Oh, that would be so cool, Jason.
There you go.
And we could put the Night Nurse in there. She could be there.
Copyright Jason Inman.
Yeah, Marvel.
And you know who's going to be their babysitter?
Oh, it's Danger Johnson.
Hi.
I'm an old man now. This is the future.
Your voice still hasn't broken? What are you, like 80?
I mean, it's not polite to ask my age.
Well, you're not a lady, so it's fine.
I beg to differ.
Do you?
I do.
You beg to differ on your gender identity?
I mean, am I asking my age? How dare you?
I guess you would know better than I.
Yeah.
Are you okay having two young whippersnappers?
I mean, I guess, sure. They were on their holophones too much.
Otis, I have another important question. In this future timeline, are you married to Orca, or are you guys just life partners?
Oh, yeah, we had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
We had a school of fish.
Orcas aren't fish, but that's fine.
And then we broke up. Yeah.
Maybe that's what the problem was, that you didn't, you know, because, you know, orcas aren't fish. They're mammals.
I made a differ.
Yeah, clearly.
It's not polite to ask about that.
Whether or not orcas are what kingdom they belong to?
I don't ask, you don't tell. No, not to fish. Okay.
All right. Oh boy.
When's my book coming?
The Otis Danger Johnson book?
Yeah. Let's just call it Otisburg.
Is that a Superman the movie joke?
You're goddamn right it is.
It's just the
this is the episode of dumb jokes and dumb names. Let's just keep writing.
It's nothing but just cut scenes of Otis getting buildings dropped.
That's right. Pianos.
Yeah.
Safes.
Oh, you know who would be a really great co-cast member of that book?
Let's go.
Who's the third and most terrible Ant-Man? Eric O'Grady?
Yes.
Eric O'Grady. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Deadpool.
Oh, I don't need him.
Because you could just drop stuff on them.
Just because we're all impossible to kill, huh?
Yeah, because you're all like deeply annoying.
Yeah, we're a little annoying.
Yeah.
We're all annoying.
Yeah?
A little bit.
I genuinely didn't understand the last two things you said.
I'm an old Eric Danger.
Agree with you.
Welcome to the episode, the Geek History Lesson full of the stupidest jokes we've ever made.
All right, I know no better point to move on from than that.
Stupid jokes.
Let's move on to the final part of the podcast, the Geek History Lesson Honor Roll. Jason.
No teaching tweet?
Oh, spit. I didn't write one.
Oh, well, though, we are moving into the final episode. The teacher forgot to do her homework.
Oh,
we're going to move into the final part of the episode, the Geek History Lesson Honor Roll, where if you go over to iTunes and you leave us a 5-star review, we don't care what you write, but if you write it, we'll read it on the podcast, and you can help us in the iTunes search algorithm. So, Ashley, who gets the keys to the teacher's lounge and gets their name on the Honor Roll this week?
We are adding two very kind members to the Honor Roll this week. The first is Cy Morgz with a Z that says, "Don't skip this class. GHL is probably the best podcast out there for comic lovers and fan wannabes. I always wanted to get into comics and didn't know enough about who was who and what was what. Then I came across this podcast and can now answer my friends at parties when they ask me, 'Hey, who is that insert this character here guy?'"
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Please write us back and tell us an actual story about that. Second is Thack D, and they say, "Love it. I'm a longtime listener and have loved this podcast since the very first episode." Bless you for sticking with
thanks.
Us. "The two hosts are clever, intelligent, quick-witted, and goofy. They cover a wide range of topics, so I'm always learning new things when I listen. When I told my dad GHL had covered his favorite character, Darkseid, he immediately wanted to hear and became a fan as well."
Oh, thanks, Dad.
"Now Dad and I often talk about the more and then... I didn't screen cap the more button.
Oh, it's okay.
But Thack D, that's so sweet that you listen with your dad.
That's awesome.
Shout out to you and to Daddy Thack D. So we'll give an honor. We'll give an honorable honor roll mention to him as well.
Yeah,
so
Dad gets the keys too.
All three of you, welcome to the teacher's lounge. And, you know, eat the bagels because
so
they've been out for a while.
If you want to join the GHL Honor Roll, you need to go over to iTunes. And while you're over there on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review, don't forget to click subscribe, download every episode of this podcast. You can also listen to this podcast on Spotify, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, basically everywhere where you can find podcasts. And if you want to suggest future lessons, especially on Otis Dangerous Johnson, where can they do that, Ashley?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, and on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a bazillion ways to contact us in all of those places.
While you're over there on Twitter, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And also, don't forget to support the Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin with the same spelling. Ashley, do we have anything for hashtag stick around?
Well, I think that we should do a job interview with Otis Johnson and figure out.
I don't know if my throat can take it.
I was going to be like, let's figure out how he got this in the first place.
All right, let's go. All right, start it off.
Hi, Otis. I'm Colleen.
Hi.
I see here on your resume that your middle name is Danger. Is that your birth name?
Danger is my middle name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you have a bunch of AIM references on there. Why don't you tell me about what your job there used to be?
I was the bagel boy.
Uh-huh. Who did you work under?
I didn't know his name because you don't know anybody's name and AIM. I just called him Grunt number 2587121.
Oh, that's cool. That's very polite of you. Here at Nightwing Restorations, we don't...
Are you related to Batman?
He doesn't exist in this universe.
Huh?
What?
I read his comic books.
He's not real.
Oh. That's disappointing.
Is that going to be a problem for you?
That was my career path.
Batman?
Why not? He's rich and he has cool cars.
But he has no superpowers.
But his middle name is also Danger.
I think it's Thomas.
No, it's Bruce Danger Wayne.
It's not. You also
Batman,
have
Danger Batman.
You have invulnerability under your special skills. How did that happen?
It's none of your business.
That's kind of rude. Do you want this job or not?
I do want this job, but sometimes, lady, you can't cross personal lines, okay?
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 5, how good are you at paperwork?
I'm a -4 on paperwork, but I'm willing to improve. I'm really good with a stapler.
Okay. And a final question.
Okay.
Are you willing to work for minimum wage?
I'm willing to work for free apples in the break room.
Great, you're hired.
Free apples.
Yeah.
Yeah, free apples in the break.
Sure, yeah.
Break room.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no break room.
Did I just start right?
There's only one room. We are in the room.
Okay, I'm going to put apples in the corner then.
Okay. There's literally, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a panel inside Nightwing Restorations, Inc. It is a room.
Is there a windowsill?
I don't think there's a window.
Okay, I'll build a window.
Okay. Day one. Build a window.
I can do that. I'm going to break through the wall.
All right, listeners. I hope that was worth it.
I don't know if it was.
You listen all the way to the end. Please hashtag stuck around. Please let us know. I thought that was delightful.
Do you?
I do. I really like Otis.
You really didn't like when Otis was like, mind your own damn business.
Well, he's a little crotchety. I'm not going to lie.
Well, listen to his voice. I'd be crotchety too. By that voice.
Think?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, he's got a boyfriend who's a whale, so it all works out for him in the end, really.
Yeah, I'll say. His boyfriend's a whale.
Oh, boy.
No body shaming here.
No.
You're going to end this podcast, Professor?
Why don't you?
No, this is your lesson.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
I'm Jason Danger Inman.
Yeah. And without the prompt, class is now dismissed.
I broke through the wall over here.
Well, we can't afford anyone else.
Huh?
So. What?
I broke through the wall. There's literally a gaping hole.
Well, just put some glass up. It'll be fine.
I don't
You're supposed
know.
To build a window. Build a window. Put some glass in it.
I don't know any of that. I don't know. What do I do?
You buy a piece of glass and put it in there.
How does that happen? Where do you get glass?
That's what I heard.
Is there a glass store?
Maybe. There's a window store.
Okay. Is that by the comic book store?
Probably.
I need to pick up this week's issue of Batman.
Batman?
Yeah. That's my career path.
You got, wait, in the 616, yeah. Batman comes out weekly?
Yeah.
Damn, who's writing it?
Jim Shooter.
Who's trying it?
Jim Shooter.
Wow.
He's a double threat.
Is it a letter as well? Is he a triple threat?
Mm-hmm. The letter is named Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. The editor-in-chief of DC Comics is J. Jonah Jameson.
No, he runs the Daily Bugle.
No, he runs the DC Comics.
Then does Batman punch Spider-Man actually, in every issue?
We're actually in the 618.
Oh.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Yeah, you're wrong. Are you in the wrong universe?
Probably.
I don't know where to
Have
take you.
Have you heard about Spider-Verse?
Yes.
I'm not a spider character, but I was probably part of that.
Oh. Do you say hi to people at Ellis Island?
Sometimes.
Like Spider-Man?
Sometimes.
That's all he does.
I deliver pizzas on the weekend.
Oh,
you're going to do that really soon.
I quit.
Okay.
I never want to do that.
Okay.
I quit.
Bye.
Fucking ladies, I can't believe they did that.